Our text this morning, Psalm 37, 3 through 5, but especially verse 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Beloved in the Lord, our text is a text that can be and has been used on many different occasions. Many a Christian school, when their children are graduating, will pick this text. Those young people have graduated from school, their life is set before them, and now comes God's Word, says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Or this passage has been used on the occasion of a new year. The old year has passed, and now the new year looms ahead of us. We don't know what's going to be in it. Hopefully good things, but also maybe disastrous things, troublesome things, commit thy way to the Lord. Or young couples that have just entered into marriage will use this text for their marriage text. Commit thy way as a couple now, your new life, your new home, commit that unto the Lord. Most recently, it was at the occasion of a baptism. The parents, I always ask, parents, young parents, or those who make confession of faith, you have a particular text you would like me to preach on, and this was the text that they chose. As a couple now with several children, they said, we want to hear God's word of how we are to nurture our children in the fear and the obedience of God. The context of our verse, especially verse 5, is a very sweet one. The child of God reposing in God's lap, delighting in him, covenant fellowship with him. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. What a blessed experience is ours. Whatever our lot in life is, and it's not the same, and sometimes it's very difficult, but this is our lot. We are chosen by God to be his people, redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, indwelt by his Spirit. How wonderful to know that. How wonderful to know that when our way in life, in this world, becomes difficult, surrounded by troubles or anxieties. How wonderful for the little child when they have to walk out in the dark that they have a flashlight in their hand or a candle, or that they know that father or mother is very nearby. In the troubles and trials of life, and we all have them, how wonderful to know that we are able to roll them onto the Lord. That's what our text literally means. Commit or roll thy way unto the Lord. Under that theme, committing our way to the Lord, notice the idea there of committing one's way. Notice how we do it and why we do it. Because we trust in the Lord. And then thirdly, in verse 5, the promise attached. He will cause it to take place. Committing thy way to the Lord. What is one's way? We have in our text figurative language. In other words, pictured for you and me is a well-beaten path. Driving through the north, you see some of these paths beaten out there on the coast where everyone walks. Or in the pastures, you can see it where the cattle or the sheep will walk, the same path. So pictured to us is our whole life as a well-beaten path going from one place to a certain destination. And that path, that way of life, is a whole way of living. It's the course of our life, the way that we live, our behavior, our conduct, and our whole lot. We live underneath God's eye, and our speech, our conduct, the way we deal with our wife or with our husband or with our children, the way we deal with relatives or friends or our neighbors, it's all known before God. And that whole way is compared to a road. A road that begins at the cradle and ends at the grave. Our way in this life. Pilgrims. Pilgrims in this world for a little while, traveling a path in this life from cradle to grave, to a certain destination. And this psalm is comparing two different ways. There is the way of the reprobate or the sinner. His way often in life is very pleasant way, broad path, easy life, many riches. He eats and he drinks and he's merry for a while. Don't be envious, for the psalm says that certain way, the broad way, leads to a certain destination, namely hell. In contrast to that broad way, an easy way, a delightful way to the sinner that ends in hell, is pictured the way of the child of God. A way that because of our affiliation with Christ Jesus is always a difficult way. It is always a way of struggle in this life, with many burdens. But that way ends certainly in heaven. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 18. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Oh, how delightful is the end of the righteous versus the end of the wicked. Verse 20 and 21. The wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke and they'll consume away. Over, done, finished. Now, in verse 5, the psalmist isn't speaking of both of those ways, but he's coming to the child of God. He's coming to the child of God who has given a new heart, a heart that is dominated by God's love for us, and therefore our love now to God and to one another. That's our way, a certain way. It has a twofold aspect. There is the outward manifestation that everyone sees. Your family, your friends, the person on the street. And of course, in the household, we know each other's way, the outward, better than what the pretenses, the masks that we maybe wear out in public. But there is that outward manifestation of the way which is motivated, which is driven by an inward propulsion. That is our thinking and our willing. Verse 31, we read, the law of his God is in his heart. And that's why none of his steps shall slide. Out of the heart are all the issues of life, Scripture says. Or again from Scripture, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So there is the outward manifestation which is driven by the inner propulsion or motivation. Twofold way. Double predestination is set here, isn't it? The Lord has determined the way of all creatures. I know this past, what was it, Friday, Thursday, I had a call, and there was a man who didn't like limited atonement. He surely didn't like sovereign predestination. But our text says that God knows the way of the righteous and of the wicked. And God's ways are always good. The potter has absolute sovereignty over the works of his hands to make vessels unto glory, but also on vessels unto dishonor. So our way as God's children is a good way because it's God's determination for us how He is going to lead us through this life closer and closer to Himself in fellowship and in love. Our way in this world is always a way of antithesis. It's always a way of struggle. It's always going to be a way of difficulty and sin, and therefore a way of warfare and pain and suffering. Don't think that we're going to be carried to the skies on beds of ease. But Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, as God's children, to take up the armor of God's Word, to be armored by God. It is an antithetical life, a difficult life. It is a way that is unknown to us, and because it's unknown, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen next year? It is therefore often accompanied with fear, or even at times with discontent. My life is in thy hands, Lord, and yet we often ask, why? Why, God, does this have to happen at me? Why does this happen? Why is this difficulty? Often fear and discontent, and even rebellion. And so God's word comes to you and to me. Chosen by God, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, indwelt by His Holy Spirit, commit thy way unto the Lord. What does it mean? That means, first of all, negatively, don't fret. What's going to take place tomorrow? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? What if this happens? What if that happens? How often we create problems for ourselves as if today doesn't have enough problems. Don't fret. Commit thy way to the Lord. Don't be envious. Psalm 73. That poor man. He looked at his lot in life, and then he looked at the lot of the wicked, and he says, I serve God for nothing. He became very angry until he went into the temple of God and he saw therein that the Lord had put him on slippery places. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't lean to your own understanding. Remember, this psalm comes from David. It comes from David late in his life, for we read in verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. David at times leaned to his own understanding, didn't he? The Lord anointed him to be king over Israel, and yet Saul is still on the throne, and Saul is chasing his life. You can almost hear David thinking, thanks a lot, God. You make me king, but I'm oppressed. I'm fleeing for my life. This is what I get. And so he's fleeing for his life. What's he going to do? Where is he going to hide? And David, in his younger years, leans on his own understanding. He says, I'll get me up to Gath. I'll go in the presence of my enemies, the Philistines. There Saul will not find me. He won't even think of looking for me. Boys and girls, you remember how that took place? There he is under Achish in Gath. And all of a sudden they start looking at him and they say, isn't this David the mighty warrior, the one who slayed all kinds of Philistines more than Saul? What's he doing in our midst? And all of a sudden David has to say, well, now what am I going to do? And he has to act the fool, drooling out of his mouth. Oh, David. When he was young, he didn't always commit his way to the Lord, but he leaned to his own understanding. How can I get out of my troubles with King Saul? And what did he do? He went from his own people to the very midst of the enemies of God's people. David now writes, I have been young, sinful, foolish. Now I'm old. And here is my counsel. Commit thy way to the Lord. And as I said earlier, what that word commit means really is to roll it over to the Lord. When the burdens are too heavy to carry. Young boy, I was raised on a dairy farm. That meant mucking out the farm stalls. You'd have this huge load. You put it on a wheelbarrow, and with that wheel on the wheelbarrow, you would roll that muck out of the barn. Your troubles, your trials, roll them. For they are too heavy for you to bear. Roll them to the Lord. Oh, David, when you were young, anointed by God to be the king, your life now sought because of it, instead of leaning to your own understanding rather than fretting and pulling out your hair, roll it to the Lord. Roll it to the Lord because the burdens of your and my life, the walking of the Christian life, is too heavy, too impossible for us to do it in our own strength. Roll it to the one who is able to do it. Our burdens are all different individually. The Lord has placed us in different places with different circumstances. I in the United States, you here in the UK, each of you, whether male, female, young, old, single, married, you all have different burdens or troubles. But God's word comes, roll them to the one who knows your troubles, your trials, and is able to bear. Oh, how wonderful for the little child when he had something that's too heavy and he could look to father or mother and say, help me, pick it up. That's our text. Commit or roll your way to the Lord because they're too heavy. Commit your way, roll your way to the Lord because we are of ourselves weak and foolish and sinful. And we're going to make mistakes. Or we're going to say, forget that burden. I'm going to escape. I'm not going to try to carry that burden. I'm not going to try to live the righteous life. I'm going to go my own way. And on our own, we're going to lose the way. We're going to step off the narrow, the straight, that is the difficult way. Roll your way unto the Lord, thirdly, because our enemies are strong and great in number. They are against us, always, for the Christian way is always the way of the antithesis. Roll your way to the Lord. The Lord, notice, in capitals, letters, Jehovah. Jehovah is the only trustworthy one. So if you look at verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Our verse goes on, trust also in Him. Now the word also there doesn't mean do two things, commit your way to the Lord, and also it would be good to trust in the Lord. No, that's not the sense, but it is commit your way unto the Lord because or out of trust in Him. That's the only way you can commit your way to the Lord. If I was going to run a race, I wouldn't want a billfold in my back pocket. Now, who am I going to commit my billfold to? Anyone standing alongside the road? Foolish I would be. No, I would commit it to a person that I could trust will give it back to me, and hopefully with whatever pounds are still inside of it. We commit our way unto the Lord only because we trust in Him. He is trustworthy. What does that mean? That means, first of all, negatively, we look away from ourselves. Look away from ourselves. Always the temptation is to depend upon our own resources or my own intellect. Or I'm going to wait for my family to help me out or my church to help me out. Or how many today the government's going to help me out. Now, as good as our intelligence is, as wonderful as family and friends are, and important they are in our life, as important as the church is in our life, we don't trust in them. They will always fail us. Even the church itself has to not trust in herself. We do not say the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the church. I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in God the Holy Spirit, but I don't believe in the church. We'd be Roman Catholics yet. But we believe a holy Catholic church. So trust, not in self, not in family and friends, not even the church, only trust, believe in the Lord. He's the only trustworthy one. Why is He trustworthy? Because He is Lord and Sovereign. He's the Almighty God. He's the Creator and Sustainer of all things. All things are in His hands. Look to the One who holds and directs all the affairs of mankind. The Sovereign One is powerful, able to do whatever we ask. He is wise in His way, even when the way that He has determined for us is a difficult way. We may not rebel and say, Lord, I don't like this way. He's wise, and He's good. He knows it will turn to our profit. As we say in our communion form, that He gives us all good things and averts all evil or turns it to our profit. Yes, it was to the profit of David, the benefit of David. Through the way of sin and grace, he became the man that he did. He became rather proud, didn't he? He had an affair, committed adultery, murder of person. It's through the Word of God coming through Nathan that he's humbled. And you have some of the most beautiful psalms that are given not only by David, experienced by David, but given to the church. Well, think of Peter. His way was determined too, even the way of denial. But what a changed man Peter became. Instead of the bold, aggressive man, he becomes a very humble man afterwards, doesn't he? And he's able to warn us. Watch out for the devil who goes about like a roaring lion seeking to deceive us. The Lord is the Sovereign One. But it's more than that. The word Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, is also the name of his covenant name. Here's the one who has developed a relationship with us and who has made promises to us, and he will fulfill those promises. He will finish what he has begun. He has chosen us eternity to be his child. He causes us to be born in the cradle, and now he leads us through our whole life to that end, that goal. Peter puts it very beautiful. We read in Peter of an inheritance that is being kept for us, who, by the grace of God, are being kept, preserved, for that inheritance that is waiting for us. All the way, the Lord is leading us as our covenant God. And now David, who is an aged saint, remember verse 25 of this psalm, is able to make a beautiful testimony. I have been young, now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken. What a beautiful promise to hang on to. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. David knew our covenant God as the Savior through all the times. All the sacrifices that we've made, all the types in the temple. You and I know that covenant God as he's revealed himself in the fullness of time in the birth of our Lord Jesus. Our God, who has redeemed us from all of our sins and gives our life meaning in his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, commit your way unto the Lord, trust in him. Because we hear our Savior saying to us, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Do you know yourself as such? As you go over your life and you think of, I don't like to think of it very often, our sins, the words we've spoken, the thoughts we've thought, the deeds we've done, what a mess. Heavy burdened I am at times by my sin. And Jesus says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Because I've borne, I've carried all of your burdens for you. Oh, the wonderful knowledge. All of our sins, all of our foolishness, all of our mistakes, borne by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So that grace flows to us. Sunshine flies upon us. Trust in the Lord. We can roll our burdens on the Lord because he is trustworthy. That means we rely, we confide on him completely. That's the practical side of faith, isn't it? We read in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. We're able to do good because we trust in the Lord. Trust in him completely. Do we do that? We get sick. Rather seriously sick, or an accident. Is our first thought, I go to the Lord and ask for his healing and blessing, or is our first thought, we run to the doctors for their medicine, and if things really look dark, then we ask the rest of the congregation, please pray for us. Where is our trust, our real confidence? Is it kind of shared? Doctors and? No, of course we use the means God has given us. But trust, confidence, rely on the Lord completely. That's what faith is. Not only a certain knowledge, according to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7, yes, it is that. A certain knowledge of all that God reveals in his word, that's certain. But out of that certain knowledge, there is a hearty confidence. That assurance that the child of God has in this life, that freely given to me through our Lord Jesus Christ, is the forgiveness of all my sins. Oh, roll your sins on me. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is given to me, an eternal life. Assured confidence, then, that all things in my life, even when I have to run from my life like David did, because of the enemy seeking his life, that's good. Even when his son Absalom is out after him, that's good. God is wise. God is good. He is sovereign. He will work it for my eternal welfare. Trusting in the Lord Jehovah for my salvation, we trust our whole way to Him. So it's not only the end of the journey that we trust in Him, but every step on the way. As rugged as the terrain might be, our eye is fixed on Him and not our own abilities or intelligence. He's on our side. And as Paul says in Romans 8, if He's for us, who could be against us? Enemies there are, but God is for us. And so we roll our way unto Him. That implies that we want Him to carry our way because we can't do it ourselves. Oh, how foolish we are. How many ministers haven't gotten into trouble because somehow they thought they were above the sins or the troubles in the congregation? I don't care who you are, young or old, male or female, single or married, we are all sinners. We are all weak. We are all foolish. The enemy wants our downfall. Roll your way unto the Lord. He is able to direct our paths. You can't do it in your own strength or in your own wisdom. Remember, Peter became a changed man. Oh, how cocky he was before. He would come to the Lord Jesus after the Lord Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me." He says, "No. Nope, I'll always follow you. Even if the rest of them fall off, I will never desert you, Lord." He was looking at his own strength. That brawny man that would catch many fish. He thought he could always stay close to the Lord. And yet Satan came. And when the simple little maid asked him, "Aren't you one of them?" "No, I don't know." Don't trust in yourself, your intelligence, your own confidence, your own faith. Look away from self. Roll your way to the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. That's the promise. He will bring it to pass. Literally, it is He will create. He has created your way for you. He has created your new life in Christ Jesus. He has created the hope that is set before you. He will create that whole way so that it leads to that certain destination, heaven. Fellowship with God. The promise is very clear. God, who has planned our way, He will enable us to walk that way, and we give it over to Him. He's going to work that way to its very end, to its very destination. From cradle to grave. He will make your way perfect. Oh, the questions we have, perhaps as a new young couple. Will she always keep on loving me? Will I always be honest to her? Oh, the questions a young couple has in life. It's awful hard to bring up children in this world. Should I do it? Will my children love and fear the Lord? Will I be able to take care of them, finance their life? What difficulties? What if I lose my job? What's going to happen then? All kinds of questions. Roll it instead of fretting. Roll it to the Lord. He will bring it to pass. For He is the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith. Our whole life, our salvation is in Him. Whatever you, whatever I need, He will supply. Oh, there is a cost involved. Don't expect it's going to be easy. Things are going to be demanded of you. Things will be denied you. To be a part of the church, there's a cost, a great cost. Jesus warns us. Whoever's going to follow me, take up a cross. But God is the author and finisher of our faith. And so as pilgrims, so often weary pilgrims, struggling, fighting, we rest in the Lord. Weary pilgrims. Isn't that why Sunday is a good day? We've been busy in our life, fighting the good fight of faith, running the race. We get tired. We would like to put down the armament. And God calls us on Sunday to His house and rest. Rest in my word. Be like a soldier. Be refurnished again with good food and rest so that tomorrow as you go back into that world, you're strengthened by my word. You're ready to face the obstacles. I'm with you. There's a hymn that says, "All the way my Savior leads me." What a beautiful thought. Christ Jesus has run the life before us, our elder brother. We follow in His steps. He enables us. At times He carries us. When we fall, He picks us back up again. I will create, He says. I will bring it to pass. And that's why verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord. We do not look at our life in this world as pilgrims, as grievous. That's what the psalmist did in Psalm 73, didn't he? He looked at how the wicked were prospering, and he looked at his own life, and he was angry, and he was bitter, and he said, "I serve God for nothing." Oh, he thought the Christian life was grievous. No. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and in the doing of that, there is a delight in God. Why? Because we experience. We not only know it in our head, but we experience His presence. How many times aren't you able to look back at a difficult time in your life and say, "Yes, it was hard then. I don't want to go through it again, but I felt the Lord carrying me, leading me, holding me." The Lord's presence, the Lord's love surrounding us, holding us to Himself. The Lord's help, the Lord's direction. David, when he was becoming so proud that he didn't even go out with his armies to battle any longer, he was changed. He was humble. The Lord's help in our life. Delight thyself in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verse 3. There the Old Testament type is, in the way of faith and obedience, God's people would experience the blessing of God in the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. As long as they lived close to the Lord, they would dwell in that land in safety. But the type falls away to the great antitype. That is, the land of Canaan falls away to heaven. In the way of faith and obedience, rolling our way to the Lord, committing our way to the Lord, we will experience His help, His blessing, and we will arrive at the destination God has determined, heaven. He gives us there the desires of our hearts. What is that? Hopefully your desires of the heart are not a nicer car or a better house or a different job. The desires of the heart of the child of God is fellowship with God. Resting in the Lord. If the Lord's for us, there cannot be a complaint in our life. So the Lord is saying to you and me on this Sabbath morning, commit your way unto me, and I will bring it to pass. I will carry you all the way to my destination, heaven, fellowship forever. What a wonderful word of God to us. What a good reminder to us. Don't look to yourself. Don't even look to anyone else around you. Look to the Lord. I believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's chosen me. He's redeemed me. He indwells me. Amen.